Bruce Maglino of Columbia, South Carolina, wrote about a report last week on the drop in the wholesale price of electricity in California. He writes that our reporter stated that Californians had reduced their energy consumption by 11% in response to pleas from state officials. I think it's more accurate to attribute the dip in energy consumption to higher energy prices. If the solution to our energy problems rested with suggestions from government officials, then we would have no energy crisis. If we've learned anything from the behavioral sciences, it is that economic forces are a more potent way to change behavior than our appeals to the common good. Sydney Jones lives in Centerville, Utah. She heard our report on how Timothy McVeigh's execution might be discussed with children. I empathized with the parent who was frustrated and concerned when discussing with her young child the difficult topic of where bad people go when they die. Sometimes we get into the mindset that we must have answers for each and every question children ask. As a teacher of first and second graders for more than two decades, I would like to suggest that it's okay to say, "Honey, I just don't know." Several of you wrote about comments Daniel Shore and I made last week about the tax refund, among them H.W. Owens. $600 might seem minuscule to you, but for my family, that's a couple of house payments, a new refrigerator or a new stove, replacement of the funds spent unexpectedly on higher natural gas bills last winter. Not everyone finds the amount inconsequential. If either of you are ever in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, stop by. We'll have lunch. On you. Correction now about President Bush's eating habits from Betsy Thagard in Austin, who writes, "The president's favorite restaurant in Austin is Jeffrey's. There is no chef named Jeffrey. The executive chef who makes the D.C. trek is David Garrido, but we forgive the delusion because their food is so dang tasty. The crispy oysters on yucca root chips with habanero honey aioli will make you forget everything but what's on the plate in front of you." Finally, Marlena Heyman of Buena Park, California, had something to say about Merle Haggard and radio. "I feel sorry for the generations of country fans and radio stations who, while applauding his induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame, fail to realize that there is a lot of excellent music left in the man, and that at 60-plus, he can still outright outsing and outperform the majority of today's country wannabe pop singers played on the radio, most of whom are one- or two-hit wonders and whose names will be forgotten by next year's award shows." Our address, letters, weekend edition, Saturday, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001. You can email us, wesat@npr.org. And no matter how you write, please tell us how to pronounce your name and where you live.